Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Great, take a seat. Brilliant. Actually, yeah, go on, I might as well have that, thanks. You have to be a weightlifter to move this thing. That'll do right there, that's brilliant. Thanks, guys. Great. Well, it's really good to be here this morning. And Jane and I were away last weekend up in Scarborough with all the guys up there at the This 15 conference. Had a great time with them. They send their love and their greetings. Paul and Kate are doing a great job up there leading the church and everything that's going on. Great favour in the community as well. So they're doing really well. Church is growing, seeing particularly since January, new people coming in, people getting saved, people moving into the area, wanting to find a church as well. So so God's good, and they're doing well. Hello, Mum. How you doing? You all right over there? All right. Normally you're sitting right there. Last couple of days, Jane and I have been in Southampton, where we were asked to speak at a kind of conference to do with Israel. With an organisation called ICEJ, and they've got stuff happening all over the world, and very much the same heart as we have, and great just to connect with them more in terms of just what God's doing relationship-wise in Israel, in the Middle East, in just the nations, and there's just a growing sense of God's doing new things all over the world, and there's stuff happening. And the news might portray very negative stuff that is going on because most of the news is negative, isn't it? The news doesn't generally report good news. It's mainly bad news. So it's easy to get a picture from the TV, the internet, and from the newspaper that stuff is just awful and, you know, where's God? God's working. Middle East, loads of people are getting saved, you know, in many nations. God is moving around the earth. There's like just a fresh thing of the Holy Spirit going on. And maybe we should somehow get some more reports and kind of read a bit more what God is doing, what is happening around the world, because there's a lot more going on than we realize. Now, Pastor Colin brought a brilliant word last week. How many of you are here for that one?
Yeah.
And he spoke about God is supernatural and everything he does is supernatural. And with that, being a person of faith, the authority that we have, and I want to just kind of flow on from that because our overall kind of theme is, what does it mean to be the body of Christ? What does it mean to be who God has called us to be? And if God is supernatural, he's called us to be supernatural in the way that we live. Is that right? If God is a person of faith, then he's called us to be people of faith. And what I felt God say to me about this morning to carry on from last week, that I just believe God said we need to look at what is God's walk of faith. I don't think I've ever heard anybody bring a message about God's walk of faith. Have you? No, I haven't either. I was sitting there and praying and stuff, and God said to me, you know, I've got a walk of faith. I'm like, have you? You know, I just thought, you know. And he goes, yeah. He says, everything I do is by faith. If I author faith in you, then I am faith. So I have a walk of faith. And I said, well, God, what is your walk of faith then? What is that? And God said to me, my walk of faith is working out my plan of salvation in the earth today. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. And he said, that's my walk of faith. And I've been walking that journey of faith from one generation to the next generation to the next generation to the next generation. So he said to me, I've been walking this walk of faith a lot longer than you've been walking your walk of faith. I've been doing it since I formed Adam and Eve, gave them free will, and they chose to do their own thing. So my walk of faith has been going from that point onwards. I'm like, wow, okay. And, you know, there's a few scriptures we're going to look at that are really, really simple look at what is God's overall plan of salvation, okay? What does his walk of faith look like and how does he work with us? And how has he invited us to be part of that walk of faith? Everybody's looking at me like, I haven't heard this one before. You know, God's walk of faith, what's that going to look like? We know that faith means that we're sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, what does faith do? Faith enables you to see the outcome before you've actually got it. Is that right? That God sees the outcome of his plan of salvation. He sees what's going to happen at the end of time. He sees Jesus returning to the earth, to Jerusalem, and then all the nations gather. He sees us with him in eternity. He sees what it's going to look like, right? So that's what faith does. Faith enables us to see an outcome, see what it looks like. But yet, to get to that outcome, there has to be a journey, a walk. And God is walking out his walk of faith. I don't know where we are in terms of the timings. Maybe if that's the beginning of time, Adam and Eve, and this is when Jesus returns, maybe we're here. Maybe we're here. Maybe we're right there. I don't know where we are, but I think we're probably down this end somewhere, would you think? Yeah. But since God activated this plan of salvation to restore mankind to God, God has been walking this walk of faith. So this is God's walk of faith today. And when we get saved, when we give our lives to him, we join him in his walk of faith to outwork his plan of salvation on the earth. So we join with him. So that's why when we join with him, that's why he says, I author faith in you to join with me in my walk of faith to work out my plan of salvation. And one of the things that I believe God's saying is his walk of faith is partly to enable us and build us to be people of faith, to join with him in his walk of faith. Rather than us trying to find faith to get God to join us in our walk of faith. He says, no, if you walk with me in my walk of faith, in my plan of salvation, then you're going to walk with me daily so that when situations arise in your life, you're going to know how to walk in them and through them and overcome them and see breakthroughs. Yeah, amen. Amen. That right?
Yeah.
So let's just have a look for a few minutes then. God obviously created Adam and Eve. He created man in his own image. In his image, we are created. But in that creating, God gave us free will. Now, in that free will, Adam and Eve, they chose to rebel. They were independent. They did their own thing, brought a separation between them and God, okay? Which then means there was a separation between mankind and God. But that was not God's intention. That's not God's purpose. God's purpose is that we should walk with him, intimately in relationship with him. And because God is jealous about that relationship with you and me, he wanted to do something to restore that relationship. So let's have a look and see where God's journey of faith begins. It started from that point in the garden, but let's see what he begins to speak about his overall plan of salvation. It's really important. Genesis chapter 12. We're going to look at Abraham for a minute. First few verses, Genesis 12, verse 3. Apostle Colin said loads of stuff last week. If you haven't heard that message, I want to encourage you, go on the internet and have a listen to it. There was loads in that message. And just such a faith-building, encouraging word in our lives. And but it comes from a God who is a person of faith. Now, how does God author faith in our lives? He speaks, right? God speaks. I'll just help you there. God speaks. Everybody say that. God
speaks.
All right. It wasn't a trick question. It was, you all sat there. I know the answer to that, but is it a trick question? He's going to say something different. No, he's not. So God speaks. So last week we heard about the supernatural, and the supernatural turns the impossible into the possible. It opens doors that are shut. It says yes when everything else says no. The supernatural says there's a way when everything else says there is not a way. The supernatural says the truth is going to overtake the facts because the facts are not the truth. They're just the facts. But the supernatural says, no, the truth is what's going to overcome in this situation, right? That's the supernatural. So God speaks in Genesis 12, and he says to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives and your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you and make you famous, and you'll be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt, and all the families on earth will be blessed through you. So what is God doing? God's declaring something on his walk of faith. So what is God's walk of faith? God's walk of faith is created mankind, gave him free will. He's rebelled, done his own thing. Okay. What I want to do though is I want to restore mankind back to me. So my walk of faith is going to be to do that. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to pick a person. I'm going to speak promises to him about everybody that's going to come from his life. And within that, I'm going to choose a special people. And the nation of Israel came out of these promises. I'm going to choose a person, a people, and a place that I want to reveal myself to, so that then through those people, that nation, I can reveal myself to the nations. Do you understand that? It's God's plan of salvation. I'm going to pick a person. It was Abraham. I'm going to reveal myself to him. And from him, there's going to be a whole nation of Israel, the Jewish people, that comes from him. But I'm going to reveal myself to them. I'm just saying this again so we get it. But I'm going to reveal myself to them so I can show who I am, what I'm like, so that then through them, I'm going to reveal myself to the nations. So this is God's walk of faith. Now, why did he pick Abraham? I don't know, it was up to him, but it was God's sovereign choice, wasn't it? But God picks him, chooses him, and he says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Now, Abraham at that point was 75. His wife was fairly old. 25 years later, the thing that God had said has still not happened, even though the promise was there. So God promised, but 25 years later, when Abraham was 100, he's saying to God, you know, what's going on with the promises? Because then in Genesis 15, God says to him, Abraham says, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And God took him outside and he said, look up into the heavens and see the stars. If indeed you can count them, so shall your offspring be. Now, what's God's walk of faith? His plan of salvation. He's picked Abraham and he wants to take Abraham with him on this walk of salvation to save the nations. And so he speaks to Abraham and he says, from your life, this is what I'm going to do in you and through you as part of my plan of salvation. So we might be living down here because this is 2015, not whatever it was back then. And in 2015, God is still working out his plan of salvation. We are now being joined in with this because we're the fruit of what God said to Abraham, that the nations are going to be blessed as a result. So we're now a living reality of what God spoke to Abraham back then, a few thousand years ago. And in the same way God spoke to Abraham and said, this is how you are going to be part of my plan of salvation. He says to you and me now and speaks things into our life because he said, this is how I want you to be a part of working out my plan of salvation on the earth today. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So God speaks to this guy and he's 100 years old and he's like, God, I haven't got any kids yet and all of that kind of thing. God speaks the impossible to make it become possible.
Amen.
And he reminds Abraham, mate, look at the stars in the sky. Look at them. You can't even count them. So shall your offspring be. You see, all the way God is speaking where Abraham says, God, I'm not sure. I'm kind of struggling. The circumstances haven't really changed yet. What does God do on his walk of faith? He continues to speak faith. He continues to declare what he's going to do. He's saying, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. And then God speaks to him, and a couple of angels appear and everything in a year's time, you know, and Sarah laughs, you know, well, I'm not going to be, you know, have a child in a year's time and all of that. But in God's walk of faith, constantly what we see is the impossible happening where it doesn't seem possible.
Amen.
So Abraham says, look, I'm too old. My wife, she's too old. It's not possible. And God says, no, this is my promise. This is my covenant with you. And I'm going to fulfill that covenant because God's saying, this is my walk of faith that I'm walking to walk out my plan of salvation. And I'm going to work with you as a person, as a human being. And I'm going to bring you into my walk of faith to work out my plans and purposes. So in the circumstances of your life, which for Abraham at that moment was Sarah was barren, they were both too old to have kids. That was a reality in their walk. But as part of God's plan of salvation, he wanted to turn that natural reality into something supernatural through their lives. And so there are natural realities in our lives that we're walking through. And sometimes we're like, God, what's going on? What's here and there and the other? And God said, that's okay, because in the natural walk of your life, what I'm going to do is something supernatural to then work out my plan and purposes through your life.
Amen.
And so in that moment, Sarah gets pregnant, and they try and speed it up a bit, don't they? If you know the story, in there waiting for God to do what he's going to do, Sarah has a good idea. Well, she thinks she has a good idea. Why don't you sleep with my servant girl so that we can at least have a son and get on with it, and, you know, God can fulfill his promise that way. But, you know, when we try and hurry up the promises of God or do things our way, it often causes more hassle and problems and struggle, right? And but even in that situation, God speaks to the descendants that are going to come from the servant girl's child, Ishmael. And God even gives promises over that child and the generations that are going to come, saying, I will make them into a great nation. What does that say? God can make something amazing out of the mistakes that we make in our lives. God can redeem things. Now, that doesn't give us license to go and do whatever we want. Oh, we'll do what we want anyway, and God can redeem it. No, that's not what we're saying. But sometimes we look at our lives and say, well, because I did that, or because I did this, or because I was disobedient, or I, you know, God can't do this, God can't do the other, or I'll never be really where God wants me. Or the enemy loves to jump on that and give you a hard time and say, you blew it there, you blew it there, you didn't walk with God in the way that he wanted you to, you've messed up, you've done this, you've done the other, you're never really going to reach your full potential in the things of God. And the enemy loves to jump on that kind of thing. How many of you know God can redeem situations?
Amen.
The mistakes that we make, the things where we blow it, where we don't necessarily believe God or walk in the right way, we try and hurry up the promises of God and all of that kind of stuff, God can redeem things in amazing ways.
Amen.
So, God's walk in his walk of faith. Isaac's born, the next generation, if you like, in the purposes of God. And now being born on the planet. Then you got Jacob afterwards, and so on. And so God is working out his plan of salvation. So I'm going to summarize a few verses just by reading this paragraph for a minute that I've written down about God's covenant with us as people, certainly with Israel, but how he is a covenant God. He says to Abraham, I've given you this land to your descendants all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River. This is my covenant with you. I will make a father of not just one nation, but multitudes of nations. I will give you millions of descendants who will represent many nations. Kings will be among them. And I will continue this everlasting covenant between us generation after generation. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Yes, I will give you this land of Canaan to you and to your offspring forever. And I will be your God, or I will be their God. Now, when you read through the Old Testament, what we discover is that Israel as a people, their relationship with God ebbed and flowed. Sometimes their walk with God was brilliant. It was amazing. And the blessings of God that were on them as a result. But other times their walk with God in his plan of salvation, they blew it. They worship false idols and gods. God said, don't marry people from other nations. And they did that. And they turned their back on. They did all sorts of stuff along the way. But yet God had made covenant with them. So God's walk is promises. In those promises, there's covenant. Because when God makes covenant, he says, I'm never going to leave you, never going to forsake you. I'm going to watch over the promises that I've spoken over your life. So in one sense, as a perfect God, I'm working with imperfect people to work out my perfect plan. See, that's where God's walk of faith comes in. He's given you and I free will. When God speaks to us, there's no guarantee that we're going to respond and do whatever God wants us to do.
Yeah.
is there? If God wanted it that way, he would not have given us free will. We'd be like robots. God says, you know, do this, and we just do it. But that's not love, is it? In love, there's free will. You choose in a relationship of love. So when God speaks, there's no guarantee that we're going to respond. So God's walk of faith is, I'm going to keep speaking. I'm going to keep revealing who I am. I'm going to keep showing people in relationship with me who I am, what it means to walk with me. And as I show who I am and open my heart and my life to those who are in relationship with me, that will cause them to want to respond to me, walk with me, and walk in my ways. Yeah. And surrender their will and their lives daily in a walk with me. Because God will never put his will on your will. He'll never impose his will on yours. So God's walk of faith every day of I mean, God doesn't live in days, does he? But, you know, every day of God's life, we can put it that way, he is speaking life. He is speaking faith. He is speaking into our lives where we're struggling or where things seem impossible, where we're not listening or whatever's going on. We're struggling to hear him. God is still speaking. God's still revealing because he's saying, I want you to walk with me on my plan of salvation. But in that plan of salvation, there's things that I want to see happen through your life that are part of the victory of me establishing in your life and in other people's lives my plan of salvation and what I'm doing on the earth today.
Right.
Are you with me this morning, or am I kind of just a bit in my own head today? Is that right? And so God's working out his plan of salvation. He chose a people and a place. The people of Israel, the Jewish people, he's revealed himself to them. They ebbed and flowed in their relationship, but yet God never, ever turned his back on them. Why? Because he's a God of faith.
Yeah.
Did God ever moan about them? No. Sometimes he might have said to, like Moses, you know, once or twice, he said, Moses, these guys, man, they're doing my head in. I mean, there is a reality to God, right?
Yeah.
And there are obviously a couple of times, or a few times, I think, when you read through the Old Testament where, you know, the people weren't doing what God said. And I think God was like, Moses, I've had enough of this, you know, and I'm going to deal with them. And Moses is like, no, don't. Remember who you are. That's a weird one, isn't it? A man goes to God and says, oh, God, remember your promises. Remember your promises. Remember what you've said. Did God forget them? No. I think God was just a little bit, man, these, you know. But you see, this is all part of God's walk of faith. Sometimes in our walk, in our that we have, there are moments where we go, what's going on? What's happening? It's God's had those moments. You see, God never asks us to do something that he has not done himself. He doesn't say, have a walk of faith and have trust in me and believe in me unless he's walking that himself. I was trying to get my head around this as well when I was praying through this, all right? So in terms of just God's walk of faith, what does that really look like? Because his, as a perfect God, his walk of faith is with imperfect people. Knowing he can't force himself on us because it's a relationship of love and it's free will. But yet by speaking and revealing who he is, we're blown away by who he is. We say, God, I want to walk with you. I want to serve you. I want to please you. I want to walk in the walk of this overall plan of salvation that you're working out on the earth. So in Ezekiel 36, when he's speaking to the people of Israel all the time to walk with him, to continue to reveal who he is, how he wants them to live, how he wants them to know him, the kind of nature and character that God has as he speaks through the Old Testament and he gave them the laws. The laws were not there to trip them up. The laws were there to show them how he wanted them to live and be in relationship and walk with him in holiness. But obviously they couldn't do it in their own strength. So in Ezekiel 36, what we see is God speaking about the salvation of the cross that he knew we were going to need to enable us to then have the power in us to live this life of faith with him and to join him in this work, this overall plan of salvation. What does he say? Oh, in verse 24 onwards, God says, I will gather you, speaking to the nation of Israel, I'll gather you up from all the nations and bring you home again. Because the Israelites ebbed and flowed with God, God ended up scattering them all over the nations because they weren't walking with him in the way that he wanted to. And whenever they didn't walk with him, they were overcome by other nations. And when they were walking with God, they overcame the other nations. And so they were scattered to the nations. And God speaks here, I'm going to gather you back to your homeland that I'm giving you. Then I'm going to sprinkle clean water on you and you'll be clean. Your filth will be washed away and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart and I'll put a new spirit in you. And I will take you your stony heart out and stubborn heart out and give you a tender and responsive heart. I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. And you will live in Israel, the land I gave your ancestors long ago, and you'll be my people and I'll be your God. So what was he basically saying? There's something that's going to happen that you're not just going to walk with me, but I'm going to be in you. And this is the work of the cross that he was speaking about, that I'm going to take out this old heart, put a new heart, my heart in you, but then put my spirit in you to enable you to live and walk with me in the way that I want you to join with me to work out my plan of salvation on the earth. Then in Isaiah 42, he speaks about Jesus. And he says, I, the Lord, have called you. He's speaking to Jesus here to demonstrate my righteousness. I will take you by my hand and guard you, and I'll give you to my people Israel as a symbol of my covenant with them. And you will be my light and guide to the nations, to the Gentiles. And you will open the eyes of the blind. You'll free captives from prison and you'll release those who sit in darkness. So what's God doing? What we see him doing in his walk of faith is he is constantly speaking what he's doing. Constantly speaking what he's doing. Constantly speaking what his plans are. Constantly speaking what he's working out in the nations. Constantly speaking. That's something Pastor Colin was talking about last week, wasn't it? In terms of faith is something that is not just thought, but is spoken. When we take authority, we speak in his name. When we have a dynamic of faith in our lives, it changes our language, the way that we speak. See, God looked at the circumstances, and a lot of the circumstances didn't line up with what his words were. But yet his words didn't change because the way people live was not the way he wanted them to. But he kept going anyway because God is working out his plan of salvation. He is walking his walk of faith, and that is to bring mankind back to him, which he's done through the cross, but he wants more and more people to know him before Jesus comes back. Amen. And so God is speaking constantly into our lives. So he spoke about Jesus, spoke to the nation of Israel about what was to come. And then Jesus actually came as the Savior. But he first of all came to be their Savior, to the Jews. Because remember what God said, I'm revealing myself to a people and a place so that I can reveal myself to the nations through them. Yeah. So he was still going to fulfill that. So when Jesus came, he came first of all to the Jews. Jesus was a Jew. He came to the Jews. I'm going to come first to the Jews because that's what I spoke about to Abraham thousands of years before. So even though the nation hasn't walked with me, I'm still going to come and reveal myself and come as their Savior. Because then I want to become the Savior of the world to the nations through them. So God's going by faith all the way through, isn't he? Yeah. So what happened? Jesus comes. As a nation, the Jewish people rejected Jesus. There were some that followed the early church. Obviously, the initial early believers were Jewish. And then the gospel went to the nations. So God did and is fulfilling his plan for the nations through the Jewish people. It wasn't that every Jew rejected Jesus. As a nation, they rejected him. But there were Jews, that the early church were Jewish people. And they, after about 8 years after the day of Pentecost, the church was grown in Jerusalem. They then were scattered to the nations, not in the way that they were because they weren't following God in the Old Testament, but they were scattered to take the gospel to the four corners of the nations. So even though many rejected, even though many turned their back and said, no, we're going to crucify you instead, He still didn't reject them. See, in our walk of faith, there's stuff that happens in our lives. There's challenges, there's situations, there's circumstances that go on. Not everybody wanted to walk with God. People rejected him. They turned their back on him. They didn't believe in him. Whatever they wanted to do, they wanted to follow in their own religious ways, the traditions of men, whatever they wanted to do. And in our lives, we have things that go on where sometimes we get rejected. Sometimes people give us a hard time. Sometimes stuff doesn't go the way that we want it to. Sometimes other people don't do the things that we want them to. Or they're not how we want them to be. And I think to myself, man, how does God see me at times in? Do I walk and live with God in the way that he wants me to all the time? No. You know, but God never turns his back on me. Wouldn't life be easier if everybody was like how you wanted them to be? Yes, no. You know, as a pastor, as a leader, sometimes there's situations that come up in the life of the church and you have a pastoral situation. You're like, man, if we could just flick a switch in that person and they were like this, that would be amazing. But then sometimes I think, well, God probably thinks that sometimes about me. Clive, if I could just flick a switch on your life and you acted and behaved like that, then it would be much better. I could sit on my throne and it'd be like, this is great. I can chill out and relax now, you know. But God's like, no, I'm still on my journey of faith. I'm still believing that everything that I've spoken and determined in my plan of salvation to work it out on the earth, I'm still believing and working that out, even though I don't see it fully worked out. And that's why in our walk of faith, not all the ducks are lined up all the time in our lives. And that's why God's saying, I'm walking a walk of faith and you can walk a walk of faith with me. Is the world perfect? No. God could be really frustrated, couldn't he? But he's not. He's still speaking because he knows, I'm going to keep speaking, keep revealing, keep showing who I am. I'm going to keep moving in your life, keep moving in the church. I'm going to keep speaking. The church is not how I intended it to be, but I'm not going to moan and complain and have a go at it. What I'm going to do is speak life and reveal who I am so that they live as the people I've called them to be. They walk with me in working out my plan of salvation so they have victory in their own lives and victory as a body of people to see me do what through them what I'm going to do. Anyway, so as part of God's plan of salvation, the gospel came to the nations. And in Romans 9, 10, and 11, in those three chapters, Paul sums up amazingly to the Romans and shows them how they mustn't get proud or arrogant towards Israel and the Jewish people, because in chapter 9, God basically talks about God's sovereign choice. He chose a people and a place and to be his special treasure. But then he spoke in chapter 10 about Israel's unbelief and rejection of Jesus. And then in chapter 11, also then talking about their need, the need for Israel and the Jewish people to be saved, to be born again. And there's a number of verses in chapter 11 where God says, did God's people stumble and fall beyond recovery? This is the Jewish people. Of course not. It says here, they were disobedient, so God made salvation available to the rest of us, the Gentiles. But he wanted his own people to become jealous and claim it for themselves. Then in verse 28, as far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account. What does that really mean? What that means is because they rejected it, then the gospel came to us. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on the account of the patriarchs, for God's gift and his call are irrevocable. Just about right there. So God made promises and a covenant that he's never going to turn his back on. But remember, that covenant, those promises were not just to Israel and the Jewish people. They were to the nations. You see, when Ishmael was born, and the Bible describes the nation that came from Ishmael as brothers with the Jewish people. And God's promises to those brothers and to the rest of the nations is one of salvation. And you look at all the conflict that's going on between nations and between people groups and all of that at the moment. And in the Middle East, the conflict, the tensions, all the stuff going on. And if you would look in the natural, you say, well, where's God in it? Because that certainly doesn't look like what he said in his word. Because his word in Ephesians 2, chapter 2 and the few verses in there talk about through Christ, there'll be reconciliation. Through Christ, I'm going to bring Jew and Gentile, Jew and Arab, Jews and the nations together to become one new man in Christ. Yeah. Now, that's happening on a certain level, but it's not happening in the full way that God wants to. So because it's not being fully outworked there, is God short on faith? Because sometimes we look at our lives and when things aren't happening the way that we think, we turn around and go, well, I haven't got any faith. It's not really happening, or it's only this, or it's only that. But yet God is walking out his own walk of faith, his own walk of salvation or plan of salvation that's not fully realized yet. Are you with me today? Because I'd never kind of thought about this like this before in terms of God's walk of faith. But yet God is faith. He's walking out and working out his plan of salvation. And this is what he's going for, one new man in Christ. A Jew needs a revelation that Jesus is the Messiah and therefore their Messiah. A non-Jew needs a revelation that Jesus is God and he's Lord. And there's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus. Doesn't matter what nationality, race we are. There's no special route for anybody. But what we see in God's overall plan of salvation, if we sum it up, his walk of faith, he's jealous for you and me. He's jealous for people to know him, to walk with him. He chose a people and a place to reveal himself to so that he could reveal himself through to the nations. And God is still working out that plan of salvation. He's still working out his walk of faith and what that looks like on the earth. Some of the facts of what's going on don't line up with what he is speaking and declaring. But God is still going to speak and declare until every word he's spoken and watching over is fulfilled. And he says, in the same way as I'm speaking over facts that don't line up with what I'm saying and my purposes at this moment, I'm still going to speak. And that's how I call you to walk by faith. Sometimes there are facts and things going on in your life that don't line up with what I've said to you. But what I want you to do is continue to walk and speak life and speak the promises, speak the things of who I am over the facts and over the circumstances. In the same way, I'm still working out my overall big plan of salvation. It's an encouragement to us to continue to walk out what our walk of salvation with God and join with him in his plan of salvation. What is one way that God speaks his purposes to the earth, to the nations, into lives, communities, nations and the nations? When we pray. So he says one way that his stuff is declared is through us. When we pray, we say, God, how do you want us to pray? What do you see? What do you want to do? What's your plan and purpose for this life, this family, this situation, this community, this town, this nation or whatever? And God says, this is what I'm speaking. This is my purpose. And then we join in and then we become that voice on earth that he is speaking from heaven.
Yes.
So what is prayer? Prayer is not, God, would you do this? And he says, oh yeah, if you'd like, I'll do that. Prayer is God saying, this is what I want to do. Then we speak that, declare that, and then there's a release of God into those situations. Because it's God speaking and declaring things through us as we pray and as we speak and as we declare. Whether it's something going on in your life, whether it's something going on around us, or going on in the nation, whatever it is, we need to understand that if God is working out his plan of salvation, he is Lord of the nations. There is nothing that can stop him from fulfilling what he's going to do. There's no person, no power, no authority, no government, no whatever group like ISIS. There is nothing that can stop God. Nothing.
Amen.
There is nothing that's going to stop him. It's impossible.
That's right.
For anybody and anything to stop him working out. So what's God doing on his throne? He's secure. He's not freaked out.
That's right.
He's like, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm speaking. People aren't lining up with me there, there and there, but the ones that are, I'm going to keep speaking to them because I'm going to work out my purposes through them. Okay, guys, this is what I want you to pray. This is what I want you to speak. This is how I want you to stand. This is how I want you to be. This is who I've called you to be. Now walk with me. Walk with me in that. Walk with me in that. And as you walk with me in that, the nations are going to be changed. Communities are going to be changed. Towns are going to be changed. Lives are going to be changed. Let's stand together because time's gone this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know if have you ever thought about that? God's walk of faith. You might have done, I don't know, but God's on a journey of faith. And he's working out his purposes. And he's brought us into that journey of faith with him. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know, when I was praying about this, I was really encouraged. It was like, wow, you know, if God's plan and purposes aren't being fully realized yet, and he's on his walk of faith and he's speaking into those to see them line up with what his will is, then, wow, that means on my walk of faith, the facts don't change then what God has said and what I need to speak and to pray and to believe in those situations. God's not put off by those things. And he says, so don't be put off by facts and circumstances going on around your life. Instead, I've given you the power and the authority of my word, my promises, to speak, to declare and over those things so that they change and they line up with me. So that things happen in your own life, whether it's a sickness or whatever it might be, that things change and line up with what the word says. So let's just take a few moments, shall we? First, you just thank the Lord that he has invited us, invited you to walk with him in his plan of salvation, that you are part of that plan of salvation. That we're standing here this morning as the fruit, the evidence of promises and covenants spoken thousands of years ago. We are part of the answer, the fulfillment of what he said to Abraham. That's amazing. We're in the Bible in Genesis chapter 12 right there. And it's being worked out now. But also just in the same way that God is speaking and had to constantly speak, there's loads of stories we could go through in the Old Testament where he just continued to speak to individuals and to the nation of Israel, his promises, his purposes, how he wanted them to walk, what he was going to do, all of that. And working with an imperfect people, knowing through the cross, relationship with him was then made possible, and he put the power of his spirit in every one of us to enable us then to live in the way that he wanted to. So he actually empowered us now to live in the way he wants. So let's just take a few moments in the facts and the circumstances of our lives, and let's just speak into those things the truth of God's word. There might be symptoms, physical symptoms, emotional, mental, physical symptoms, whatever they are. There could be circumstances going on, challenging things, facts that say this is what the reality is. But then God says, no, I'm going to change the reality of the facts into the reality of the truth. See, the truth is a reality. And that's where faith comes in. When God speaks, he speaks about the impossible becoming possible. Abraham, you're going to have a child and the nations are going to come from you. How can that be, God? I let's just take a few moments. Whatever it might be, the facts, circumstances that are going on in your life, just speak the truth over them right now. Whatever the truth is often the opposite to what the facts say. Facts will normally say nothing's happening, it's not possible, you're sick, you're unwell, that's not good, that's bad, that's this, that's... Well, what? What's the truth? What's the opposite? Just begin to speak that into the situations right now. Don't just think it in your head, but put words to it. Father, I thank you for this walk of faith and the way you're shaping me and making me more Christ-like. Whether you need to speak to your body, I speak to my body this morning. I speak to the symptoms to go right now. I speak health. Whatever it is, if you've got a family situation, a relational thing, or a work, whatever it is going on around you, challenges going on, financial thing. For I thank you that you make the impossible become possible. Speak provision and release. Speak health and life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we praise you. We thank you. We praise you. We thank you. You're awesome. You're mighty, Father. You're wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that I have victory over the enemy. I have victory over his lies. I have victory over his trying to cause unbelief or trying to get me off track. I thank you for victory over the taunts and the little jibes and the negativity. Thank you for victory over those things. Father, I thank you that every promise that you have spoken, you are watching over to make sure it is fulfilled in my life, in my family's life, in my descendants, in whatever promises you've given. Father, I thank you, you're watching over every one of them to be fulfilled. So I choose today to continue to walk in those promises. I choose to speak those promises, declare those things. Even though the facts might say something else at this moment, I continue to speak what you're speaking, declare what you're declaring, and walk in what you're saying.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank you as you're doing that over the nations. Thank you. I do that in my personal life and in my family and as part of my church. The stuff we're going for in our locality, our region and beyond. Father, I'm going to stick in there with you because of the things you've spoken about our 25-mile radius, about seeing the nation changed, about seeing transformation and reformation. Father, I'm going to stick with you and be part of your plan of salvation. I thank you, Jesus. I praise your name. Just turn to somebody next and say, I'm glad I'm walking with God and he's walking with me.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.